I would like for you to get your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Once you find 1 Chronicles 11, find verse number 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 10. And as is our custom here, we will stand for the reading of the Word of God. We do that out of reverence for the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, look at verse number 10. And I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says these. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord, according to Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David hath, Jeshubun, and Hachmonai, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, and the Ahoahite, who was one of the three mightiest. He was with David at Pasdedam. There in the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistine, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. If you'll look back at me for a moment, the sermon that I'm going to give to you this morning is entitled, Mighty Christians. Mighty Christians. The passage of Scripture to which we just referred tells about a group of men that David had with him. They were called David's mighty men. I don't know that God was expecting us in this generation to form a group of mighty men. I do know that God expects us in this generation to form a group of mighty Christians. I hope you'll listen this morning. I'll share some thoughts with you about this idea of mighty Christians. Let me pray. Father, the time is short. The need is urgent. Now, God, may there not be interruptions. Might we be able to get right to it and teach and preach your book your way. God, challenge us today. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in this place this day. Oh, we've had fun. We've enjoyed the music thoroughly. We have food that awaits us, but nothing is more precious and nothing is more valuable than the singing and the preaching of God's Word. May it be exalted today, and may we leave this place better Christians than when we came in. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. The Hebrew definition of mighty, it means champion, and it means example. There's a reason why David had some mighty men. David was a champion over Goliath, and he definitely was a good example in slaying that which would have hurt him and the people of God. Did you know that God wants you and I not just to be Christians? I think God would like you and I to be mighty Christians. You say, what is that? I think there's some things that we ought to champion in life. I think there's some things that God would like you and I to be examples of. That word mighty, it's champion. Of a right example. Listen, did you know that God created man? And the Bible says that God created man in His likeness. You and I are to be like Jesus. Who's Jesus? Jesus is God come in the flesh. Did you know that if you and I are to be like God, one of the attributes of our great God is He is a mighty God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:37, He is a God of mighty power. If you don't believe that, come around at hurricane time and you'll see our God of mighty power. Not only is He a God of mighty power, He is a God of mighty strength. And He mentions that in Job chapter 9, verse number 4. He is a God that is mighty in battle, according to Psalm 24, verse 8. And man was created in God's image. And I think then that God would want you and I to develop that attribute of mightiness in our lives. Now, we're not just speaking about physical brute strength. Psalm 33:16 says, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by strength. We're not just talking about you can pump iron and you got a big bicep. Now, don't let that scare you. We're not just talking about you're strong and you can pick up a lot of weight. Oh, there's something greater than physical strength. There is a spiritual strength. And God would like for you and me as born-again Christians to develop that spiritual strength. In Ezekiel 22, verse number 3, God said, I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know what that's teaching us? God is looking for some Christians to become mighty in their behavior so that God can use them. We need Christians that will become champions of the right example and represent Jesus Christ in a mighty way. I really believe what I'm about to say. I'm saddened by the anemic, weak Christianity in our day. Folks, just so you know, Hollywood Christianity is not the real deal. Our politicians will pull out the Jesus card about primary time, and then they never mention him after they're placed in office. Give me a governor that will stand for Jesus when he's being elected and when he's not. Give me a king that will do right no matter what. I think our homes need some mighty Christians. I got to looking in the Bible. David had this group of men that were around him, and they were called David's mighty men. In other words, they were champions of example. You say, how did David get those men? David was a champion of example himself. And that's why David was surrounded by these mighty men. If you will, you might even call it story time for just a minute. I'm going to tell you the stories of just a few of David's mightiest. And I would say that God gave us these mighty men and their examples so that you and I in this day and age would not only look back and admire what they did, but that we might replicate it in this day and age. The Bible's there to teach us, but the Bible's there to train us how to live. For instance, a mighty Christian for the Lord is one who keeps on going when they seem to be outnumbered. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. 2 Samuel 23:8, this is about one of David's mighty men. It says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite, that sat in the seat of the chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Ezonite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. You understand, I just said, I think a mighty Christian is one who keeps on going even when they feel like they're outnumbered. This Tachmonite that we just read about was one of those mighty men. He had a mighty attribute. You said, what was that? He never allowed himself to feel like he was outnumbered. You say, in this story, you understand it, the Bible says he was outnumbered by 800 people. One man took on 800 and he won the battle. You say, how did he do that? He figured out that with God on his side, anything was possible. You see, the Bible tells us here there were people coming at this man, this Tachmonite, from every direction. 800 people, and the enemy surrounded him. But what did he do? He decided that he would take a stand for God even if he felt outnumbered. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This old world needs some Christians that are going to take a stand no matter how many worldly, nasty things surround us. And I thank God for the years in America where Christianity was very strong and maybe put up on a pedestal. I hope you're noticing. I think they're going to throw us under the bus. They're making you look like a weirdo and the weirdos look like the normals. It may be a little more difficult to be a Christian in America today than what it was 100 years ago. But I've got to tell you, God is looking for some champions of example that will stand no matter what. A lot of you young people, it is not your privilege to be homeschooled. It is not your privilege to be in a Christian school. You go to the public school. Let me tell you something. You stand for God while you're in the public school. You can live right while you're in the public school. You say, but preacher, I am surrounded. So was the Tachmonite. But the Tachmonite said, I may be outnumbered, but with God, me and God make a majority, and we can do what has to be done, and we will take a stand. The Tachmonite wasn't a man of excuses. He was a man of solutions. One man took on 800, and I say God looked down and said, I'm not asking you to take on 800. I'm asking you to stand when you're outnumbered. If you're the only Christian at work, stand. And you're the only Christian at school, stand. If you're the only Christian in your platoon, stand.
stand for God. And that's what they did. I got to looking. There's another mighty man. A mighty Christian for the Lord is a person of the Bible. They're a person of the Bible. Let me read a couple of verses to you. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines that were that there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistine until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword." That is very interesting to me. A man by the name of Eleazar, that's his name. Now, his dad is mentioned here. If you heard it, it tickled you. His dad's name is Dodo. You know God had a sense of humor. But the Bible talks about this man by the name of Eleazar. And what happened was, he was in a battle for the Lord. And the Bible says as the battle raged, he had grabbed a hold of his sword and he fought from sun up to sundown. And so you all know it was not a gentleman's war. It was nasty. It was bloody. And everybody was out to kill him. And that man with that sword fought from sunup to sundown. They said after the battle was over with, he went to his tent. And he went over to lay his sword down. And he had Charlie horses and his hand was wrapped around his sword. And he couldn't get the sword out of his hand. Maybe one of the fellow soldiers come over and said to him, "Eleazar, put it down." He said, "I can't. I fought all day. I can't get my hand off the sword." And let me tell you something today. We need some Christians in this day and age that will grab a hold of the sword of the Word of God. And don't let anybody knock it out of your hands. And don't set it down. And don't ignore it. And because it's not become popular in this day, we will still stand for the Word of God. For the Word of God. Hey, you know what we need? We need some mighty Christians. Some Christians like Eleazar that understood the importance of the Word of God. And I say to everybody in here, why don't you believe the Word of God and teach the Word of God and carry the Word of God and love the Word of God? Hey, and live the Word of God. And don't come by church to get entertained. Come by church to realize there's a God in heaven that wrote a book and you and I are to know it and live it. See, I think God is a mighty God. And I think God wants you and I to be mighty Christians. Some of you are way too satisfied just saying, "Well, I'm Christian." I think He'd like to have some mighty Christians. Some mighty Christians that keep on going when they're outnumbered. Some mighty Christians that love the Word of God and they grab a hold of it. And they're not going to let anything change that. That's what happened to Eleazar. But not only that, I believe that God's in need of some mighty Christians that are the providers of good things. Providers of good things. Again, one of the mighty men. Let me read a passage of Scripture and tell you a little of the story. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistine. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." And might I remind you all, you don't have victory on your own. It's always the Lord that renders the victory. Shema was this man's name. He fought to protect a field of lentils. What was that field? That field would have provided for his family. That field would have provided food. What was he doing? Here is a Christian. Here is a man that said, and remember, he is a mighty man, and he is defending so that he can meet the needs of others. Oh my. In this day and age, are we starved for people that are not self-centered? In this day and age in Christianity, folks, let me tell you, we're not to be thinking like the world. It's not every man for himself. It's not see how much you can get for you. The truth of the matter is, Christianity always has been and always will be about other people. We need to get our eyes off of our stingy selves and realize there are other people out there, and you and I are to be a blessing to other people. You and I, there are times we are to do without so we can help somebody else. There are times when you and I should sacrifice to love people and be good to people and help people. This man here, his name is Shema. He went into the middle of a field. He was outnumbered, but he said this. He said, "You know something? my family, and there are some folks that they're going to have need, and I'm going to do what I have to do to help meet that need. We're to be providers. Christians, we're to want to help other people. Listen, that's one reason why, as a Christian, I think it's a good idea for you to get a job and keep a job. You say, why? Because that job's just not all about making you rich. You ought to want a job so you can help somebody. You can make a difference. That's why a dad gets a job. That's why a husband gets a job. That's why some ladies will work and some have to. Let me tell you, when they do it, it's not all about self. It's about meeting the needs of others. I think good Christians, I think we need some mighty Christians that helping others is more important than helping themselves. We're to be providers. But not only that, I noticed a story about another man. Matter of fact, there were three mighty men that were kind of a unit. They were David's mighty men. And this is what I learned. I learned that a mighty Christian for the Lord will learn some loyalties in life. Let me read a couple of verses to you. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15 and 16 says, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew out that water from Bethlehem." And then the Bible says, "Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof and poured it out." Let me tell you the story. David was on a mountainside looking down at the well of Bethlehem. Some of his men were with him. The Philistines had taken over. They had the well, they had the city, and David was, maybe the sun was setting, and David looked down and had three guys by him, and David said, "You know, I'd like to have a drink out of that well. I used to drink out of that well when I was a kid." Three of David's men heard that. They probably retracted for a minute, and one said, "He wants a drink." Another guy said, the whole Philistine army's down there. Another guy said, "Well, there's three of us. David wants a drink." One fellow said, "I'm getting a drink. Give me a water bottle, I'm going down." The guy said, "You can't go alone." He said, I'm going with you or without you." So all three of these guys come running down the hill. They go down and fight their way through a bunch of Philistines to get a cup of water to take all the way to the top of the mountain to give to David. When they got the water there, David poured it out. You say he was unappreciative. No, I'll tell you what that meant. What meant was this. David was saying your loyalty and love is more refreshing than a drink of water could ever be. I'm going to tell you all something, folks. We need an old-fashioned dose of loyalty again in our Christianity. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We need to be loyal to the Word of God. What do you mean by that, preacher? We need to learn to be loyal to our church, and we need to learn. Okay, hey, God knows America's marriages, they're desperate that husbands are loyal to wives and wives loyal to husbands, and we need children that are loyal to mom and dad and moms and dads that are loyal to their children. What has happened to our commitment to one another? It seems like in America, it's every man for himself, and who cares if I hurt you, and what's it matter if you're left out? I think there ought to be a loyalty. Hey, is there not a cause? Say, David poured that water out. I think David poured that water out because he said, your love and loyalty to me is more refreshing than any old drink of water. I think he was so proud of those men. There's nothing wrong with loyalty if you're loyal to that which is pure and honest and right. Hey, I see some mighty attributes here. I see mighty Christians. I see a mighty Christian that keeps on going if they're outnumbered. I see a mighty Christian that's all about the Word of God and will hang on to the Word of God as they go through this life. I see a mighty Christian that understands the importance of others and providing for others in life. I see mighty Christians among David's mighty men that have learned loyalty in life and they stick with those that they love. Hey, I also see that mighty Christians should be Christians of honor. They do the honorable thing. If I may, let me read you a quick passage of Scripture. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 18 and 19, it says, "And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among them. Was he not most honorable of three?" Abishai was his name. The Bible says he was honorable. God knows in America we need some mighty Christians who, hey, let's bring honor back to Christianity. Let's make sure that we are honorable people. You say, what exactly does that mean? Basically, honor here is someone that's honest. Honor here is a man of integrity. Honor here has something to do with dependability. Folks, can I tell you something? If you promise you are going to do something, it's still right to keep your word. If you promise, let me tell you this, you promise your kids something, follow through. Follow through. You promise your husband, you promise your wife, you promise your boss. Follow through. Ah, my. We don't want to pay our bills today. Hey, and listen, I understand emergencies. I understand difficult things. But folks, if you make a commitment to make a house payment, if you make a commitment to make a car payment, if you make a commitment with some bill, pay your bills on time. You say, what is that? That's being honorable. It's being honorable. And again, I understand emergencies, but some of you, your life is just a big fat emergency. You've got an excuse for every reason that you don't keep your word. Tell the truth. You know, the truth is still the right thing to tell. It's still right to tell the truth. It's still wrong to lie. It's still wrong to deceive. Live in a way, Christian, that honors Jesus Christ. I think I look at this man, he's one of the mighty men. And what does God point out? God points out that he was honorable. Let's be honorable as Christians. Let's make sure that we are like those three loyal men, that they knew that there was a commitment and they wanted to express that commitment of loyalty, and let's be providers of good things, and let's make sure that the Bible is how we live our life and we keep going when we're outnumbered. Let me just give you another thought or two. These mighty people in the Bible. A mighty Christian for the Lord is one who will do what is hard in life. They'll do what is hard in life. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 20 and 21, it says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jediah, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men in Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear." This guy named Benaiah, he slew a lion in a pit. And he you find out he actually takes a spear away from a guy that's twice his size and kills the guy with his own spear. Now let me explain. If you've never fought a lion in a pit, you need to try it sometime. You say, what's a pit have to do with it? Really, in my case, nothing. It would not matter where. I do not want to fight a lion. And we're not talking about Fluffy, your kitty cat. And this guy, he fights a lion and he slays a lion and he turns around and has to fight an Egyptian twice his size. And so this guy shows up with a stick and the Egyptian has a spear. And the Egyptian says, all you have is a stick. And this guy says, well, I have a stick now, but in a moment I'm going to have a spear. And the guy said, where are you going to get a spear? And he said, I'm going to take your spear. And he said, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before you get my spear. In just a few minutes, it's a cold day where the booger man lives. And he kills the guy with his own spear. And if you ask me, this guy knew how to take the tough things on in life and not whine and complain. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a mamby-pamby day and age where Christians whine about everything. There are some of you Christians that are going to have to apologize to some of the martyrs in years gone by that went through terrible situations and hardship and pain for their Jesus Christ. Now, I live in North Carolina. I like my air conditioning, but you won't die if you do without it for a day or two. Do you understand what some of the people in the Bible went through for the cause of Jesus Christ? Wow. They learned to do the hard thing. Hey, it's a hard day in which we live, but could I recommend to every parent in here, go ahead and raise your kids for Jesus Christ in this hard day. Don't give in. Keep doing right. And to all the young people under the sound of my voice today, I realize the term virginity, it's mocked out there. And you get around people and they mock if you want to be pure, and they mock if you want to be virgin. Well, let me tell you something, young people. If you've not lost that purity, you go ahead and keep it. You let people mock you and you let people tease you. You say, it'll be hard. I understand, but God needs some mighty Christians that will do what's hard. Do what's hard.
For some of us, the hard part is just overcoming ourselves. Some of you need to do the hard thing and overcome your temper. Some of you need to do the hard thing and overcome your lust. Some of you need to do the hard thing and overcome your laziness. There are people under the sound of my voice. You have vices. You have things in your life right now that you should not have in your life. You smoke things, you drink things, you do things that you should not do, and you don't control them, they control you. And some of you need to rise up and become a mighty Christian and decide with God's help you're going to do away with some of those things, and you're going to be a mighty Christian. You say, what is that? A champion example of what God can do in Christianity. And if God can help somebody else over the vice, God can help you over the vice. You don't have to give in to it. You don't have to be conquered by it. Become an overcomer. Hey, when I glance at the people that are called mighty in the Bible, these are the attributes of the mighty. These were not just soldiers. They were mighty soldiers. I'll give you one more and it'll be quick. I think a mighty Christian will come out of the shadows and do something for God. They'll come out of the shadows and do something for God. This particular man is not one of David's mighty men, but he's called mighty in the Bible. Judges 6:12, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." It's speaking of a young man by the name of Gideon. The angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and Gideon virtually hid behind a plow, a piece of farm equipment. And he said, Gideon said, "I'm poor and I'm weak and I'm afraid." And God said, "Gideon, step out from behind that plow and get involved." How many of you have ever heard the name Gideon before? Would you raise your hand? I'm going to guess he stepped out from behind that plow and got involved. I'm going to guess he didn't stay scared. You want to be a mighty Christian? There's some of you, you need to stop watching Christianity and you need to get involved. There's some of you, you need to stop just being a spectator and become a participator. There's some of you, you need to step out. You say, "Preacher, I'm a bit shy." I think Gideon was shy. Gideon was hiding behind a piece of farm equipment. Say, "But I'm shy. I'm shy about talking for the Lord." I think Gideon was. You say, "I'm a little shy about inviting folks to church." I think Gideon was. But I can tell you this. I know that Gideon stepped out from behind that plow. And if you know the stories of what God did, you say, "Preacher, I don't think I could ever do anything for God." Let me tell you something. Gideon felt the very same way. Gideon said, "I'm not much. I don't have much to offer. I'm a little bit fearful. I'm not trained real well." And God said, "Hey, you let me help you. You step out and we'll go see if we together can do something for God." And I think there are Christians under the sound of my voice. You're retracting yourself. You're holding back. And I think you're truly humble. You say, "I don't know if I can. Preacher, I've never been to Bible college." Well, you don't have to go to Bible college to do something great for God. Gideon didn't go to Bible college. David didn't go to Bible college. You say, "But preacher, I've not been in the church for long." Gideon had been on the farm and God said, "Step out from behind that plow, boy. I want to use you." You say, "But preacher, I don't talk very well." I think Gideon was stammering all over the place. I remember when Moses said, "I'm a little bit afraid to go and talk to Pharaoh." And God said, "We can do this." The next thing you know, Moses is leading 3 million of God's people. What did they do? They stepped out and said, "I want to be used of God." And it's time for some of you to just stop being a Christian. And decide to be a mighty Christian. And step up. Step out. Get involved. You say, "Well, preacher, what's the big deal? There's a lost and dying world going to hell. And we've got a bunch of people just watching. I'm saved." God saved you to serve. God didn't save you to set. He saved you to serve. You say, but I've got my fears." Well, what are they? Are you a little outnumbered? God said, "We can do this." Say, "How am I going to do it?" Grab the sword. It's what this mighty man did. What am I supposed to do? Help others.
Just hang in there. Tell the truth. Do the honorable thing. Do the right thing. Do the hard thing. Step out of the shadows. God will use you. I really don't think God's ever truly used anyone that was cocky and arrogant. He'd just knock the snot out of you. I'm sorry. Nasal mucus. I need to be appropriate. Huh. I'm done. But let me tell you, if you're here today, you say, that sounds good. I'd like to do that. The first step is salvation. You need to get born again. That means you become a part of the Christian family. Now, you say, is that hard? No, it's real easy. Well, it's easy for you and I. It was a challenge for God. But for you and I, it's easy. If you're not born again, you need to get saved. Then decide, I don't want to just be saved. I want to be a mighty Christian. And what is a mighty Christian? Well, a mighty Christian is one that champions by example. We need Christians that will set example. We need that. What is salvation? Well, the Bible teaches we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches us that there's a penalty for our sin. It says for the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ paid that penalty for us with His death, His burial, His resurrection. The Bible tells us that, but God committeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, what do I do? Admit you're a sinner. Admit He's a Savior. Humbly go to Him and say, forgive me my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. At that moment, God can transfer you from being lost to saved. Say, then what can I do? You can step up and be a Christian. Matter of fact, He helped you to be a mighty Christian. I looked up every time in the Bible the word mighty was used. I wish I had 4 more hours. Don't worry. We're done. I wish I had 4 more hours. My heart was racing when I got done with the Bible study. And I decided, I don't want to just be a Christian. I would like for God to see a passion or desire in me to be a mighty Christian. Why else would He put that in the Bible? God is paying a compliment to those people's attempt. They were trying to go further than just a little for God. I hope you'll consider the same.